بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم. وقال تعالى: ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب، صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, as we are all well aware, we have just entered the Islamic New Year 1445. 1445 years after the Hijrat, the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah al-Mukarramah to al-Madinah al-Munawwarah. In reality, ulama explain, for a person to recognize and identify with the Islamic calendar is a sign of Iman. In the Quran Kareem, Allah Rabbul Izzah very clearly states, وَمِنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ. That person who has Iman within his heart, and the dictate of this Iman causes him to respect, to honor, to hold in high esteem the salient features of the deen of Allah, then فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Take this as a guarantee from the side of Allah, a stamp of approval. This person has taqwa within his heart. He is conscious of Allah. What are the salient features of the deen of Islam? إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى صَفَايَا مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. Qatada rahimahullah says that Allah Rabbul Izzah is the creator of each and every entity in the skies and the earth. But Allah has selected and chosen from His creation certain individuals and made them special. Istafa min al-malaikati rusula. Allah is the creator of the malaika, the angels. But from these angels, Allah Rabbul Izzah has selected and chosen some and made them special. Wa min al-nasi rusula. Allah is the creator of humankind. But from all of humanity, Allah Rabbul Izzah has chosen the anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam and made them special. Wa istafa min al-kalami dhikrahu. Allah Rabbul Izzah is the creator of speech. From all speech, Allah chose His remembrance and made it special. وَاصْطَفَى مِنَ الْأَرْضِ الْمَسَاجِدِ. Allah is the creator of the land and the earth. But from the entire land, Allah chose the masajid, the houses of Allah, and made them special. وَاصْطَفَى مِنَ الْأَيَّامِ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ. Allah is the creator of the days of the week. From the entire week, Allah chose the day of Jumu'ah and made it special. وَاصْطَفَى مِنَ الشُّهُورِ رَمَضَانِ وَالْأَشْهُرَ الْحُرُمِ. Allah is the creator of the calendar. And from the 12 months of the calendar, Allah has selected the month of Ramadan. And the Ashhure Hurum, the four sacred months, Allah has made them special. Dhulqa'da, Dhulhijjah, Muharram, Rajab. The first of the sacred months is the month of Muharram, which we are presently in right now. Qatada rahimahullah says, فَعَظِّمُوا مَا عَظَّمَ اللَّهِ. You also regard as special that which Allah regards to be special. You also hold in high esteem that which Allah holds in high esteem. Unfortunately, respected brothers and elders, we find, because we are living in a land where the Gregorian calendar is in vogue, we find that the mu'min, the believer, more often than not, does not identify with the Islamic calendar. To this extent, a person calculates his age also, he calculates it on solar years. And unfortunately, this impacts on many masail as well. We find commonly when it comes to the payment of zakat, a person calculates his zakat once a year. If it is calculated in the solar year and not the lunar year, then we find a person will be 10 days short as far as his zakat is concerned. But together with this impacting the different masail and laws governing our lives, what is the speciality of the Islamic calendar Allah Rabbul Izzah has blessed us with? Ulama explained, the deen of Allah is a rich deen. Our culture is a rich culture. Our tradition is a rich tradition. The Islamic calendar is not something void of any substance. The ulama say, Allah begins the Islamic year with the month of Muharram. And what is Muharram in the Arabic language? Something which is sacred, which is full of honor and respect. In other words, the message is being given, the mu'min will begin with dignity and respect. And then we move through the Islamic calendar, and soon we will come to the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, where we find the norm around the world is for the life the achievements and the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to be spoken about. The Ummah will once again reconnect with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the calendar will move on, we'll reach the month of Rajab. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. The month of Sha'ban will then come, Allah will give us Laylatul Bara'ah, the 15th night of Sha'ban. And we hear each and every year, the mercy of Allah Rabbul Izzah, Allah's forgiveness, how many souls Allah frees from the fire of Jahannam. And all of this in preparation, finally the month of Ramadan will arrive. And each and every one of us seated here, those who are listening over the receivers, wherever we may be, no matter how close or far a person may have been to Allah, but each and every person will attest to the fact that the month of Ramadan is different. The feeling is different, the air is different, the environment is different. And the anwar and barakat of the month of Ramadan, finally that will also draw to an end. And then the hilal for Shawwal will be sighted, the day of Eid will dawn upon us. And then will begin what is called the mawsim and the season of Hajj. Where ulama say from the four corners of the globe, the hearts of the lovers of Allah Rabbul Izzah will turn towards Haramain Sharifain. And we find the topic for discussion in every Muslim home. It can be a wealthy person, it can be a pauper. But each and every person is discussing who are those fortunate individuals that their names have been called, they will present themselves for Hajj. We will meet the departing Haji. Du'as will be made for him. We will request him to make du'a for us. He will don his ihram and he will present himself. Finally, the month of Dhul-Hijjah will arrive. He will present himself before Baytullah. He'll make tawaf around the Kaaba. He will make sa'i between Safa and Marwa. He'll present himself for wukuf at Arafah. He'll stand in Muzdalifah and Mina. And when these manasik of Hajj come to an end, then the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, man hajja falam yarfuth walam yafsuk. That person who performs Hajj and he does his Hajj correctly. There is no vulgarity, there is no immodesty. His speech is clean, his actions are clean, his heart is clean. Then raja'aka yawmin waladathu ummuhu. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives guarantee. The Haji will return in the condition that he was on the day that his mother gave birth to him. In other words, he will return drenched in the forgiveness and mercy of Allah. The Islamic calendar will draw to a close with the month of Dhul-Hijjah, where the beginning of the mu'min was honor and dignity and respect, and the end for the mu'min will be forgiveness and mercy of Allah. Contrast this, my respected brothers and elders, with the Gregorian calendar, where we know the new year is ushered in on the 1st of January. And how is the new year generally ushered in? A night full of intoxication, a night full of partying, a night full of dancing, where the behavior is completely unbecoming and undignified. The believer begins his calendar with dignity. And then the Gregorian calendar will continue, no substance, no value. And finally it will terminate in the month of December, and we know when the month of December will come, the year-end parties will begin. The matric party will take place, the office party will take place. Again, it will be a night of celebration, of dancing, of singing, of intoxication. Where the believer began with dignity and respect, he ended with forgiveness and mercy. The reality, respected brothers and elders, every feature of the deen of Islam is rich with history, rich with tradition, rich with substance. The entire deen of Islam has been given to you and I. Have we connected with the deen of Allah? Have we identified with the salient features of the deen of Islam? Have we embraced these salient features of the deen of Islam? Perhaps we have heard throughout the week, we heard in the Jummah Bayan also, the history behind the Islamic calendar. And this is not just a history lesson, but for us to take note. Again, the rich history, the culture, the tradition behind it. We find during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Arabs of the time would use the year of the elephant, Amul Fil. They would use this as a point of reference. The year of the elephant, we have heard the incident many times, where Abraha and his army marched against Baytullah. They came perched on top of elephants as their conveyances. The intention was very clear, we will try to destroy the house of Allah. Allah speaks about it in Suratul Fil, أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ. Allah says, we rendered their plan and their plot null and void. They were unsuccessful in their endeavor. And Allah protected the Baytullah. But that was known as the year of the elephant because of the greatness or the significance of this event. Incidentally, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was also born in this year. So the Arabs would use the year of the elephant as a point of reference. That this particular event happened so many years after or so many years before the year of the elephant. This child was born 5 years after or 6 years after, whatever it may have been. This continued throughout the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, 40 years in Makkah Mukarrama, then he receives Nubuwat. Another 13 years in Makkah, finally migration to Medina Munawwara. There he spends 10 years, finally his demise takes place. But it remains the same, there is no fixed calendar. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu becomes the Amirul Mu'minin, he rules for a period of 2 years. In his Khilafat also there is no fixed Islamic calendar. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu takes over as Amirul Mu'minin. The status quo remains the same. There is no Islamic calendar. Various different narrations have been mentioned according to one riwayat. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu is seated in the masjid. And a person comes to him and presents a piece of paper before him. And on this piece of paper it is written a promise from the Baytul Mal, from the national treasury, that a certain sum of money be handed over to this person in the month of Sha'ban. Umar radiallahu anhu reads this letter and the realization dawns upon him that which Sha'ban are we talking about? Is it this year? Is it the previous year? Perhaps it's 5 years ahead. And the realization comes that we need to now fix an Islamic calendar. As we know, in the reign of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, the Islamic empire had spread. And there were various individuals who were under the employ of the Islamic State. Salaries had to be paid, wages had to be paid. There were stipends given out to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a need for an Islamic calendar to be instated so that when it comes to financial matters, things could be above board. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu gathers the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Discussion takes place. That what event will we use to mark the beginning of the Islamic calendar? Different suggestions are put forward. Somebody says, let us look at the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The greatest bounty that came upon the ummah. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. Where Allah describes the greatest favor upon the people of Iman is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But the answer comes that the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not something exclusive to him. Every Nabi who came into this world was born. Somebody else suggests, let us look at the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Again, the answer is given, his demise was not exclusive to him. But every Nabi who came into this world also had to pass away and leave. Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam being the exception, but he too will have to pass away. Somebody suggests, let us look at the occasion of the Mi'raj. When the ummah was given the greatest gift of salah. Again the answer comes, physical ibadat is not exclusive to this ummah. The nations of the past also engaged in physical ibadat. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu finally comes forward and his suggestion, let us mark the beginning of the Islamic calendar with the hijrat. Why the hijrat? And we heard in the Jummah Bayan today, the sacrifice behind the hijrat. The persecution, the difficulty, the hardship that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had to undergo when they had to leave their homes. It's easy for us to speak, easy for us to listen. But put ourselves in the picture, respected brothers and elders. We mentioned this example before. A person has grown up his entire life in Asheville. This is everything he knows. The home he is living in was built by his grandfather. The business he is standing in was founded by his great-grandfather. He can drive the roads with his eyes closed. He knows each and every person by name. He's got people in the community he can turn to for support in his times of difficulty and need. His business interests are here. His investments are here. And the call is made, give up everything and leave. Today if a person leaves, he leaves with his debit card. He leaves with the suitcases in his boot. He's taking his car and going. But how did they leave Makkatul Mukarrama? Leave all your wealth behind. Leave your investments behind. Leave your business behind. And where are we going to? A person migrates in today's time, he is looking to greener pastures. There's some job offer, the salary will be increased. The people of Makkah Mukarrama, their profession was business. They were businessmen, they were known for buying and selling. The profession of choice in Medina Munawwara was farming. So migrate to a place where you know nothing about the profession. And ask those who are in the farming industry and they will tell you. It is not an industry where you can wing it. If you don't know what's happening, you will make a loss. So give up everything and leave. Go to Makkatul Mukarrama. The sacrifice, we have heard it. But what was the final lesson of Hijrat? What was the outcome of Hijrat? We ulama explain and we should understand that today the ummati sees a picture of Madinatul Munawwara and the heart jumps out of joy. The word Madina Munawwara causes the heart to flutter. And which person doesn't wish to stand before the rawdah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? For Madina Munawwara to be created, Makkah Mukarrama had to be sacrificed. For Al-Masjidun Nabawi to come into existence, the Baytullah had to be sacrificed. The lesson of Hijrat and the lesson of the Islamic calendar, respected brothers and elders. On one hand, the sacrifice, the qurbani that the ummah will have to go through. But more than that, the lesson that has been kept for you and I, and for the ummah till the day of Qiyamah, is that every cloud will have a silver lining. What has been mentioned in Quran, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Every difficulty will come with ease. When those Sahaba radiallahu anhum had to leave Makkah Mukarrama, they would not have thought of what would have been created. That a Darul Islam would be established in Madina Munawwara. The deen of Allah will be implemented freely. The Muslim ummah will grow in large numbers. And eventually that Makkah Mukarrama itself would be conquered once again. The sacrifice had to be given, but there was a silver lining. And we find the very same lesson, respected brothers and elders. Tonight is the night of the 10th of Muharram. A day where Allah Rabbul Izzah delivered Nabi Musa and the Bani Israel from the clutches of Fir'aun. The very same lesson is being taught to us. The Bani Israel understand. Before the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam underwent persecution, the Bani Israel had to be persecuted. Before the mothers of this ummah had to cry, it was the mothers of Bani Israel crying. When the young children were snatched away from them at birth, and they were slaughtered in front of them, subject to every type of persecution imaginable at the hands of Fir'aun and his henchmen. And they also thought that this cloud is going to burst. There is no end in sight, there is no light at the end of the tunnel. It was on the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura, Allah Rabbul Izzah discusses in the Quran, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَسْرِ بِعِبَادِي إِنَّكُمْ مُتَّبَعُونَ. Allah gives permission to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that take your followers and leave at night. In the dead of night, leave your homes and travel. And this will be an opening for you to gain salvation from Fir'aun and his people. فَأَرْسَلَ فِرْعَوْنُ فِي الْمَدَائِنِ حَاشِرِينَ إِنَّ هَؤُلَاء إِلَى شِرْذِمَةٌ قَلِيلُونَ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَنَا لَغَائِرُونَ. Fir'aun becomes enraged. He realizes what has happened. The Bani Israel are escaping. So he sends out a message that there is a small group of troublemakers that are trying to escape. We have the greatest army in the world as far as numbers are concerned, as far as weapons are concerned, as far as know-how is concerned, as far as experience is concerned. Allah Rabbul Izzah makes it such, this is the system, the decree, the taqdeer of Allah. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam errs in his calculation. The journey that they end up taking is not the one that they thought they would take. And eventually that army of Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel find themselves in front of the Red Sea. The sea is in front of them. When they turn back, they see the army of Fir'aun approaching. Quran captures the scene, فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَ الْجَمْعَانِ. When the eyes of the two armies met, قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَىٰ إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. The people of Nabi Musa immediately lost hope. إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. There is no way out for us. And this is the very same emotion and feeling that the ummah will go through. Maulana mentioned in the Jummah Bayan earlier today, somebody perhaps has been burdened with debt. He doesn't know how he's going to pay those debts. He also is saying in the dead of night, إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. There is some woman living in some abusive marriage. There is nobody to lend an ear to her. Nobody is prepared to assist. She is living in that condition. She is also saying, Inna la mudrakun. There is somebody diagnosed with some chronic illness. His life has become a living hell. Each and every day he is becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. Doctors have given up hope. He is also saying, Inna la mudrakun. But there is no light at the end of the tunnel. I have reached the end when the Bani Israel thought that cloud was going to burst. What was the response of Nabi Musa? قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ The very same response Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give so many years later in the cave en route to Madinah Munawwara. When Abu Bakr Siddiq would say to him, O Nabi of Allah, the Quraysh are hot on our heels, they are going to find us any moment. And if they will find us, they are going to take my life and they will take your life. And if your life is taken, it will spell an end to this ummah. And what was the answer given? لا تحزن إن الله معنا. That do not grieve, do not be sad, Allah is with us. Nabi Musa gives the very same response to his people. إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ My Allah is with me, He will make a way out for me. The message of Ashura, the message of Hijrat, is when the ummati is overwhelmed. He feels as though those waves are crashing down upon him. There is no way out. At times, suicidal thoughts enter his mind, Allah protect. And he doesn't know which direction to turn to for assistance and help. Then remember the golden words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the golden words of Nabi Musa, لا تحزن إن الله معنا كلا إن معي ربي سيهدين. What was the outcome? Allah Rabbul Izzah instructs Nabi Musa, strike the Red Sea with your staff. A completely illogical action. But he complies with the command of Allah. فَانْفَلَقَ فَكَانَ كُلُّ فِرْقٍ كَالطَّوْدِ الْعَظِيمِ The sea splits into two. Allah creates a pathway for the Bani Israel to traverse. Fir'aun and his army hot on their heels, they pursue them. And when they enter Allah commands these waves to come crashing down on them. كَمْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ جَنَّاتِ وَعُيُونَ وَكُنُوزِ وَمَقَامٍ كَرِيمٍ Where yesterday the people of Fir'aun were enjoying their lives in their palatial homes. They had everything that this world could give. Overnight, what does Allah do? وَأَوْرَثْنَا الْقَوْمَ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يُسْتَضَعَفُونَ مَشَارِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا Allah says that very same nation, the Bani Israel, yesterday they were treated as the doormats in the society of Fir'aun. يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ يَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَهُمْ They had absolutely no social standing in society. Allah says, we made them the Malik, the owner, the inheritors of the lands of Fir'aun. Those very same palatial homes which they were sweeping yesterday, now they held the keys in their hand. When there was trust upon Allah, when they did not give up hope, when Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam inspired them, and they placed their trust and their tawakkul upon Allah, how Allah showed them the silver lining. The lesson of Ashura, respected brothers and elders, there are so many different things about the day of Ashura. Time is limited. We find together with this, one is the sacrifice of the ummah. Allah will create ease. The lesson of the Islamic calendar, ulama explain. The second lesson, as the turn of the calendar takes place, Dhul Hijjah draws to a close, Muharram comes in. The mu'min is reminded of his own beginning and his own end. Ulama explain, what was the beginning of insan? أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ Allah says, does insan not remember that we created him from a despicable drop of fluid? What was that drop that was his beginning? That if it had to fall onto the clothes, that man had to wash his garment. The sheets had to be changed, the father had to take a ghusl to purify himself. That was the beginning of insan. فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ Allah says, we gave him a little bit of strength, little bit of energy, little bit of intellect. He began to earn, he began to make some investments with the brains that we gave to him. And suddenly when he found some status, some position in this world, he now wants to oppose us. He wants to question our decisions. He wants to question our commands. He wants to disobey us, transgress. The end of the Islamic year is a reminder, or an opportunity for us to revisit our own beginning. And at the same time to remind ourselves of what will our end be. When a person will leave this world, what will his end be? When he will go into his grave, it will be decaying flesh and bones. If that body has to stay out for 1 or 2 days, his own wife will say, please take him away. His children won't want to look at him or go close to him. In this world, respected brothers and elders, the wife will complain to the husband, load shedding is finishing us. The husband will do everything in his power to create light in that home. Whether he has to put an inverter, whether he has to put a generator, he'll do what he can. Because I need to provide light for my wife and my children. Have we thought about putting an inverter for our grave? With that dark hole in the ground, there will be no sunlight that will come through. It will be permanent load shedding. It will only be the amal that will create light. As much as we make an effort, Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah would say, make effort for dunya, no problem, but do it in accordance to the extent that you will live here. But make effort for the akhirat for as long as you will live there. The beginning and the end of the Islamic calendar presents us with this opportunity, respected brothers and elders, to revisit, to remind ourselves, what was my beginning, what will be my end? Do I know in which direction I am going? Have I made preparations for them? That one day I will have to leave this world. No matter what my bank balance may be, no matter how many friends and how much of support I have in this world, eventually life will go on, my children will forget my name, my wife will become somebody else's wife, my car will be driven by somebody else. What will my end be? Have I prepared for that day? As we had mentioned, respected brothers and elders, there are so many lessons of Ashura, of Muharram, of the Islamic New Year. We find, unfortunately, in our communities, our societies, together with the correct understanding and practices, we find many incorrect beliefs and practices have come in as well. And it is our duty, as much as we acquaint ourselves with what is correct, with the sunnah practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we also understand what is incorrect. We find that there are some riwayat, and it has become the norm in certain cultures that on the day of Ashura, a person should apply surma in his eyes. The ulama of hadith have classified that there is no hadith such as this. This is not a sunnah practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Together with that, we find that in many cultures there is the custom of giving out certain types of fruit. And this signifies blessings and goodness for the year ahead. Again, these practices are not found in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. What is found? Tomorrow will be the day of Ashura. Just a few simple guidelines, so that we can make the most of the day of Ashura. We don't know if we will see next year. On one hand is the fasting of the day of Ashura, and all of us know about this. Many would have kept fast today, the 9th of Muharram. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam comes to Madina Munawwara. He sees the Jews are fasting. So he asks, what is the reason for this? And the answer is given that this was the day wherein Allah saved Nabi Musa. And we associate ourselves with Nabi Musa. So therefore we fast on this 10th of Muharram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to them, نَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ. We are more deserving. We have more right to Nabi Musa than you. Because we are following his deen. We are following his beliefs and his teachings. So therefore the Muslims will also fast on the 10th of Muharram. And initially this was a day which was fard, prior to the fasting of the month of Ramadan. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam instructs Sahaba radiallahu anhu, that together with fasting on the 10th, fast on the 9th as well. And ulama say you can fast 10th and 11th as well. But keep at least 2 to differentiate yourself from the practice of the Yahud. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, together with teaching us to fast and to recognize the day of Ashura, is simultaneously teaching us that the deen of Islam, the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, is exclusive. Our practices are exclusive. Our beliefs are exclusive. The way we worship Allah is exclusive. The way we celebrate is exclusive. So on one hand, the fasting of the day of Ashura, various different ahadith have been mentioned. The person who will fast on the 10th of Muharram, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says his reward will be as though he fasted for the entire year. And we know outside of the month of Ramadan how difficult it is to fast. Ask a person just Monday and Thursday, or the 13th, 14th, 15th of every month, the sunnah fast, how difficult it is. Sometimes a person doesn't even eat much in the day. But just To know that I am fasting is such a mental challenge. One day's fast or 2 days, and the reward is as though a person fasted for the entire calendar year. Together with this, the second practice we have heard in the ahadith also, is for a person to increase his spending on his dependents. مَنْ وَسَّعَ عَلَىٰ عِيَالِهِ يَوْمَ عَاشُورَىٰ وَسَّعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ سَائِرَ سَنَتِهِ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that person who will increase his provision, his spending on his dependents. The word عِيَال has been mentioned, and this is something we should take note of. In the Arabic language, the word عِيَال refers to one's dependents. Those whose expenses a person is currently responsible for. So if a person is looking after his wife, his children, perhaps his elderly parents are living with him, these are his dependents. His cousins, his family members of extended family, his neighbors, these are not his dependents. So the hadith says that person who will increase his spending on his family members, then Allah will increase his spending on this person for the entire year. And here also we find, unfortunately, the incorrect practices that have come in. Whereas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had made the day of Ashura a day in which we differentiate ourselves from the Yahud. But unfortunately, we find the practice of Ashura gifting. Where many businesses also have made it a commercial act, a commercial day, a day of earning profits. There is no problem in this. But the day of Ashura is something beyond this. Therefore, there is no practice in the hadith of gifting. We should be careful not to emulate the practice of the enemies of Islam, where we have a gifting ceremony and gifts are exchanged. There is no such a thing as this. Ulama have explained, Hazrat Mawlana'im Sahib has explained, Daum Barakatuh, many times before, simple way for us to increase our spending on our family members, a simple way for us to practice on this hadith. So Mawlana says that generally a person knows the budget he has as far as the groceries he buys for his family. And when he is choosing certain items in the supermarket, he's looking for the best deals. He's looking for those products which perhaps are not the best products. And he's looking for something which will suit his wallet. On the day of Ashura, buy the best. Of course, within reason, within means, a person should not burden himself, spend that which he does not have. But where generally we give our children a few sweets, now buy them an entire slab of chocolate, make them happy. Ulama say our children will remember the day of Ashura for the rest of their lives. That I had a stipend every day at home. My mother said that I can only have so much and so much. But the day of Ashura, I knew for me that was the best day of the entire year. Like this, we will create that spirit within our children. Rubay' bint Mu'awid radiallahu anha, she says, that when we were in Madinah Munawwara, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would send a message. That, O Ansar, make sure you fast on the day of Ashura. So she says, we would make it a habit, we would fast, we would make our young children fast also. She says that midday would come, they would begin to get hungry and cry. And the mother feels sorry for the child. She says, we would fashion toys made out of wool for them. And we would give these toys to them to play with, to distract their mind from the fast of the day of Ashura. So we get our children involved also. It's still early, we can go home tonight. Sit with our families for 10 or 15 minutes. Read the incident of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. How trust is placed upon Allah Rabbul Izzah. And how Allah will make a way out. Ulama explain, and we'll end on this point inshallah. A very important point to take note of in today's time. Where we are worried, concerned about the future of our children. Mawlana Sayyid Ahmed Khan Sahib rahimahullah would say, the yaqeen and conviction of a child is made or broken from a young age. So when it comes to our children, when it comes to what ta'aleem, what tarbiyat we give to them, the day of Ashura is an ideal opportunity. Teach them, read to them the incident of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, how Allah's unseen assistance came. The divine help of Allah on the hijrat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And instill this within our children. That no matter what position you find yourself in your throughout your life in this world, turn to Allah and Allah will have your back. As we said, respected brothers and elders, time has run out. The lesson of the hijrat, the lesson of Ashura, the lesson of the Islamic calendar, amongst many others, is together with the qurbani and sacrifice that is the sunnat of this ummah. But remember, every cloud does have a silver lining. And for the believer, the day his eyes will close, if he does not see it in this world, the day his eyes will close, that will be his silver lining. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.